afterwards. After snow, you're usually like pizza. So that'll be the plan for the evening. It's for all of you, especially the children and the families. Come on along to our snow day. There will be fellowship classes today. And those of you who are interested in baptism, to be part of a baptism class or to learn about baptism, you don't have to commit to be baptized to come along to these classes. Hopefully we'll learn together, but we'll be meeting downstairs at about 12:45 today. We'll get into a little room just to chat about how we might proceed from here. So we will see you at that time. Our special announcements, our prayer requests today are sad. Our sister Doris Evanson has gone to be with the Lord. Doris and her husband Arnie were in fellowship with us here for many, many years. Doris was a Sunday school scholar, met on the street like Elsie Budd many, many years ago, and the Sunday school teacher said, "Would you like to come to Sunday school?" And she said, "Yes," and she has been walking with the Lord ever since. That was at 24th Avenue Gospel Chapel Sunday School. She passed away Friday night. No details on arrangements yet. Reg Galvin, who was called Wayne Galvin or Reg Galvin, depending on which name he went by, was here in fellowship with us many, many years ago. His mother has passed away. There will be a memorial service for Mrs. Frances Galvin at North Surrey Gospel Chapel, 1:00 on Tuesday of this week. Several items of interest on the back pay and back table. First of all, the MSC prayer list. Take that and pray along as you will. The Milk and Honey is here this week. Some excellent articles on Christian living and devotion to the Lord. And the Everyday Publications Impressions are here. Read it, see what the wonderful work is going on in Everyday Publications, and pray along with them. Gary, please.
This is a financial report for the month of January. We started the month of January with a balance of $11,174.74. The offerings for January were $14,090. The expenses, Sunday school expenses, $40.30. Printing, $154.87. Lunches and dinners, $160.01. Telephone, $104.85. Terrace and gas for heating, $205.19. Gifts to the Lord's servants. Hugh Smith, $200. Barb Cummings, $3,500. Marcus Cappers, $3,500. Blanquita Haggerty, $1,000. Emil Kovic, $300. Trevor Campshire, $1,000. David Jones, $300. Burt Mast, $300. Louis Voyer, $500. Precious Seed International, $700. Dave and Ann Cliff, $1,000. Spread the Word, let's see, it's at the back. It goes by another, and they spread the word as the official name for it. Designated gifts, Burt Mast, $200. Mike Atwood, $250. Union Gospel Mission, $100. Leaving a balance to the credit of the assembly of $11,220.67. And further announcement, those of you who have ordered offering envelopes, they are available for pickup in big envelopes at the back with your name on them. And for those who have hadn't got around to it yet, there's still time to order. And for those of you who haven't got the tax receipts yet, please see me. Thank you. Shall we look to the Lord? Our Father in heaven, we do thank thee for this time we've had around these emblems, remembering our Lord Jesus Christ and all that he did for us at Calvary, the horrendous price he paid for our salvation. We do praise and thank thee that he willingly did this for us. And Father, we do pray for our brother Clay as he speaks this morning. Guide and direct and bless, and do be with him, and speak through him to the hearts of each one of us here. For we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. I'd like to share a few thoughts with you, if I might. In the Believer's Hymn Book, there's a song that I like to sing. But as typical, at least of me, is when I sing songs, there can to be a tendency to sing words and not understand them, or to sing words and not comprehend them. This song is number 352. I particularly want to pay attention to the fourth verse, but I'll read the first verse. Thou art the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son, God manifestly seen and heard, and heaven's beloved one. The chorus goes like this: Worthy, O Lamb of God, art thou, that every knee to thee should bow. The fourth verse says this: But the high mysteries of his name and angels' grasp transcend, the Father only, glorious claim, the Son can comprehend. I must admit, I've sung that song many, many times without fully understanding it. I would add this disclaimer, and that is, we should not take our theology from hymns. I think far too often we can have the habit of doing that. However, when we do sing a hymn and we see something that's striking to us or unusual to us or something that causes us to think, it is wise of us to be good Bereans and go and search the scripture and see if these things be true. So I'd like to look at a few verses. The first one we're going to look at is Judges 13, if you would. Judges 13, it's a story of Manoah. And the angel of the Lord appears unto Manoah and tells him that he is going to have a son, and that son is going to be Samson. I'm going to read at verse 17, pick up the story pretty near the end of it. And verse 17 says this: And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? If you've never done it, I would highly suggest to you that you look at the idea of the name in the scriptures. If you know, read David, and in the Psalms, he often prays that it something be done for thy name's sake, for the honor and glory of your name. It speaks to the character and to the person of the name. And so Manoah wants to honor this person, this angel of the Lord that's appeared to him. And I am a firm believer that this is a Christophany. It's an appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And notice what the answer is. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? And that word there, we find four times in the Old Testament. This is one. We find that word used again in Psalms 139:6, and it says, Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. And the word there, wonderful, is the same word we see here as secret. The idea is it's incomprehensible. It's beyond our finite mind's ability to fully understand. We see the word used again, or at least a form of it, in Isaiah 9. A very famous word where we get the Messiah. the famous musical Messiah from. And in Isaiah 9, it says this, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And it's the same word again, used as wonderful, incomprehensible. Now, if you turn over to Matthew 11 with me. We're going to see the same idea expressed by the Lord Jesus in verse 27. And the Lord Jesus says this, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." And it suggests, or I would suggest to you, that it says, "And no man knoweth the Son but the Father." That there's a depth, there's an incomprehensional part of the Lord Jesus that's beyond our finite mind to fully understand his worth. I think we have this pictured in the offerings. There's five offerings. We often appreciate the Lord Jesus in exactly reverse of the way they're listed in Leviticus. And we start with a trespass offering because we're thankful that our sins are forgiven. We're thankful that our sin issue and our sin nature has been dealt with, which we see in the sin offering. In the peace offering, we see that we have peace with God. And in the meal offering, that the life of the Lord Jesus and his perfect humanity and his perfect sinlessness answers all our problems at the cross. And if we study each of those, we'll see that every one of those, that the priest had a part and the offerer had a part in each of those. But when we come to the first one, which is the burnt offering, that burnt offering was wholly set aside to God alone. Because I believe that's a type or an example of this very idea, that there is something about the Lord Jesus that the Father alone understands and appreciates. And yet, if you'll notice, when the burnt offering went up, the priests stood around and worshiped. And I would suggest to you that there's a part of the Lord Jesus that we can appreciate from the Father's viewpoint. And we can enter into a deeper and greater appreciation of the Lord Jesus that's really almost beyond our human ability to fully comprehend when we start to appreciate the Lord Jesus from the Father's point of view. As it says that, he says three times in the scriptures, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In whom I'm well pleased. Another study I would suggest to you is to look through the Old Testament and see how many times that the Father refers to the Son as my Son, my servant, my shepherd. I believe there's five times that he does that. Now, let's look at one more verse in Revelations. I was mentioning this to a brother, and the brother said, "Oh, that's past. We're led into all truth now, and so he is no longer incomprehensible to us." I would suggest in Revelation 19 that there will forever be a part that we fully do not understand. The revelation of Jesus Christ, if you start off with the first chapter, it tells us much about who he is. In verse 5 of the first chapter, "From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God, his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." We have a similar words here in this 19th chapter. We're going to start with verse 11, if you would. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had the name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, with it shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has high on his vesture and his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We see a number of names written here about the Lord Jesus. And each one of them, I think we have some understanding of. The first one is faithful. Psalms 40 is a great example of that. He says that he preached to the congregation. I would suggest to you that it's at the cross that he preached to the congregation. It's at the cross that we understand the love of God. It's at the cross that we understand the mercy of God. But it's also at the cross of Christ that we understand the justice of God. That God could be both just and the justifiers of those who believe in Jesus Christ. That sin, as we saw so well displayed in our play last night, that God is a just God and he could not pass sin by. But the good news is he could not pass a sinner by either. And in the cross of Christ, we see both the love of God and the justice of God. And Christ was faithful in proclaiming those things to us. And then he's true. He's true. It's not enough to be faithful. You also have to be true. And we've sung that a number of times this morning about the truth of the Lord Jesus, that he is true. He's an absolute rock. He's the very Word of God, as we're going to see that that's his name. And then if we skip down, it is called the Word of God. And it says, and his name is called the Word of God. He's the Logos. In Hebrews 1, it tells us that God in times past spoke through the fathers, but now he speaks in the person of his Son. He truly has revealed the Father to us. We understand the Father because of Jesus Christ and what he has revealed to us. And then later in the end, it says the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because Philippians tells us because of his humility, because he humbled himself even to the death of the cross, that there is coming a time where every knee will bow to him and own him and recognize that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But yet, let's look at verse 12. It says he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Verse 12. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his heads were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Once again, we're reminded that there's something about the Lord Jesus Christ that can alone be appreciated by the Father. And we often come here, and I have to admit that when I deal with some young people, they say, well, it gets boring after a while. Well, I would suggest to you that if it's boring, it's because you have not begun to even plumb the depths of the greatness of our Savior. That my finite mind cannot grasp it. Scientist spends years looking at the stars because they're just so magnificent. They keep discovering new things. I would suggest to you, there's much to know about the Savior. Paul says, I desire to know the Savior. I don't think we can ever reach the point where we know him completely as we should. And there's something about him that is beyond us. One of my favorite verses is in 2 Corinthians, and it says, for you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, It is beyond my comprehension to fully understand how rich he was. The Lord of glory, the one who spoke and this universe was brought into existence. A universe so vast that we can't even begin to fully understand it. The one who had all of heaven as his glory. And yet it says, for though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty. It was quoted this morning in prayer that the Lord God saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. It's beyond my comprehension to fully understand what it costs a Savior to bring me salvation. The poverty that he was willing to go to. Because it's when I look at the cross that I realize just how poor and feeble and what a sinner I was. And I'm amazed when I read verses like, the one who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be the righteousness of God in him. We sometimes sing that song, oh, help me to take it in. Help me to understand it, what it meant for thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. It's surely at the cross of Christ I realize what a sinner I am and what a great price was paid for my redemption. I think Paul has it right. In 1 Timothy 3:16, he says this, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh and justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. I will tell you, it disturbs me when I hear people try to explain the unexplainable. When I hear people try to explain the incomprehensible. And they want to say this about Christ, or they want to say that about Christ, or they want to say here this happened, or there that happened. I can simply tell you, I don't understand it. I don't know what took place in the garden. When I read about what took place in Gethsemane, I feel like taking my feet off because my shoes off because I'm standing on holy ground. And so Paul tells us, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. What an amazing thing. We sometimes sing that song that I like to sing. And can it be that my God should die for me? We live in a day and age where we're not often moved to awe. Or we're not often moved to the point that we just have to just silently meditate. That we're left speechless because of the greatness of our God. But we have a great God and a great Savior in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for our Savior. And Father, we would just take again a moment to remember the one who remembered us when he died there at Calvary. Father, we would enter in some small way into the thoughts you have of your Son, the one who always did your will, the one who was your servant, the one who is your King, the one who is your Son. And then, Father, we're so thankful that he's your shepherd. And, Father, to think that in your great plan of salvation where you were justified there at the cross, that you included us in that great plan of redemption. That we can know the living God. that we can have a relationship and life eternal. That we can be seated in the heavenlies as we were reminded this morning. Oh, Father, we would not take this remembrance time for granted. When you've invited us into the holies of holies to worship because of the work of your Son. Oh, Father, our hearts would bow in worship. Our tongues would praise you. And, Father, our lives would demonstrate that we know the Lord Jesus by becoming more and more like him on a daily basis. Oh, Father, we thank you for the day and the plans you have for us. We ask that you would bless them. We thank you for the outreach last night, and we pray as the gospel went forth in such a clear and understandable way that those who heard it will be reminded by the Holy Spirit again and again of their great need to know the Savior. So, Father, we give you thanks again for this day. In the Lord's name we pray, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.